Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in tonight's Comics Book Club. Here are your hosts, Pete LeBay, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salmon.
Hello! What's up, everybody? I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Dad of the Booth, Booth Man!
Wow.
Very excited.
Wow, you have your own cheer now. Or a boo.
It's boo.
Boo, yeah.
I think it's boo. Yeah.
People cheer for you a lot during our show.
We have a big show for you guys. Yeah. So we are just going to get into it by introducing all of our guests tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on the show we have Ed Brubaker, Brian Michael Bendis, Jeff Katz, Matt Fraction, and special guest Jeff Lowe!
Remember last time we were here, we had professional comedians do a lot of material. And
yep, and we don't have that now. Let's talk about dicks! We knew we'd lose one of you. That's why Jeff's here. He's
gonna take me with you.
Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to have you here. Obviously, for most of you, the reason you're here this week is because of the Marvel Retreat.
There's a Marvel Retreat?
Oh, shit. That's where you guys are supposed to be right now.
Right now.
That is awkward. I was not invited.
So what's going on with that? For those of you who are there, tell us what the general idea is.
Okay, the thing is this. She's getting married, and she doesn't know who her father is. She has three candidates. It's on a Greek island. It's great. It's working really well.
Yes.
That was the joke. What are we doing?
The serious answer is, we get together and in a big room, and
Brian talks, we applaud.
In a law firm.
It's great.
How awesome is Secret Invasion? How awesome is it? And then we, then Lo goes, it tells me who the Red Hulk is, and then I forget 2 seconds later.
So well.
And then Matt tries,
we've been doing that same joke
for
years.
No, we get together the first day. All the editors put on a presentation slides, kind of where we are in the Marvel Universe.
PowerPoint, very heavy PowerPoint.
He's just going to a lot of pizza.
Very, very weak transitions. No star wipes. No. no George Lucas.
No star wipes.
Is this about our PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah.
You have a PowerPoint presentation?
Actually, it looks better. That's better than
that's not bad.
Yeah. You guys should come to our.
Do you have star wipes?
No, we haven't learned star wipes.
We do them live with our hands.
So then the second day we all go into a much larger room where they bring in most of editorial and sales and the rest of us and a few other guys.
And hamburgers.
And
hamburgers the second day.
Hamburgers on the second day. Tomorrow they're having Mexican. I'm not so crazy about that.
You get like jars.
There you go, guys.
And today, the part that really upset me, aside from everything that Brian said, was that we were supposed to have coffee and Danish, and the Danish never came.
Fuck!
Wow. I don't know. Like when Jen comes, then we always have Danish. So I don't really.
See, this is good because we're really getting into the stuff comic book fans want.
Well, who doesn't want to know what we eat?
Oh my God, Internet! Jeff Loeb likes Danish.
I'm looking forward to
I was blogging all afternoon.
So what we do is on the first day, editorial goes through and they talk about all the books and basically talent, except for Ed, who has to take control of the microphone, explains what's going on in their books. Then the next day is when you come in and you sort of pitch, and it's divided up in the day, and you start with Avengers, and we work all the way through all the different Marvel heroes, and then there's a whole section for the X-Men and Spider-Man, and it's basically just everyone sort of going, this is what I think we ought to do.
There's a big...
And then we collectively shit on it. So
there's a wall with like basically 18 months drawn and marker, and there's sort of each little sort of horizontal for each of the kind of lines or families, and you kind of put what's going to happen about when and where, and everyone can kind of look at the master plan, as it were.
Twice a year for these things, and so you're always looking a year and a half ahead, but there's always these moving parts, stuff that you're talking about. The last one sometimes gets moved differently, so it's really, it's a key part of how the line is put together.
Or we come up with, like, problems or premises that we want to kind of have the room talk about instead of, you know, just dropping it out and see if it happens. And, like for me, I said, here's something I want to talk about. Doctor Strange is no longer the Sorcerer Supreme. He failed the Sorcerer Supreme. It's kind of been sitting out there for a while because of Secret Invasion, but now that it's over, who is the Sorcerer Supreme? If he's not, someone else is. Is it Doctor Doom? Is it Eladi Rasputin? Is it the Hood? I mean, so we went through the list of candidates, and we all as a group decided
that it would be Captain list. America.
Well, I'm sorry, I was supposed to say.
Yeah.
So today
Captain
we decided
America, Sorcerer Supreme. New number one, starting.
That's what your whole story's been building to.
Yeah. Now you understand how Steve Rogers comes back.
He has magic claws.
He has magic claws. Just one.
Yeah. The claws of Akamata will fuck you up.
Well, the full title is Wolverine and Sorcerer Supreme of America.
Guest star in Spider-Man.
Invasion.
X-Men.
Number one.
So how do you come up with the next 18 Wolverine one-shots that are going to come out?
It's a map of the Midwest, and we pick out all the little towns. Where there will be a woman.
Who does he know in Kankakee?
Yeah.
Do you basically have like a Wolverine Mad Lib?
Yeah, but it's like when it's like on The Office when the girl wouldn't would only say like Kitty and Bunny for all the adjectives.
It's all like snicked and died.
Yeah, exactly.
But now speaking of Wolverine, Jeff, you just finished working on the film.
I did it,
Wolverine.
Great transition.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just sit over here.
I've been reading this comic. It's one of the best ones.
Oh no! What's happening?
I touched it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to touch the prop.
Big mistake.
That's not an actual comic. That's just a
piece of
cardboard.
Yeah.
There's no pages.
Oh, no, that is accurate. That's my only claim to Marvel connection. I have nothing to do with this summit here. I'm here on other business. I just coincidentally got lovingly roped into this thing. But yes, just spent 4.5 months in New Zealand and Australia putting together X-Men Origins Wolverine about May 1st of next year.
Did you touch Hugh Jackman's naked body?
His just his biceps, actually. As a matter of fact, we reenacted the boy from Oz.
But
yes, obviously, answering all those burning questions about in the X-Men movie universe about his origin and cameos from a lot of familiar favorites that many of these guys have written. And I think I see it next week officially, but they like the movie. And I think trailers in front of Day of the Earth Stood Still, which will be out December 12th, I believe, the teaser trailer.
For Oscar season.
Yes, exactly. Considered cartoon. Way to hit your wagon to a star. Well, you know, I think the inverse was probably the idea. I think they figured they were probably, it's the Star Wars Episode One premise of, you put this in front of the other thing, it'll probably drive some viewers there. I'm told that Day of the Earth was pretty good, but I'm still a Fox guy at some heart. But no, the movie, I think, delivers, and on all fronts, I think, look, I'll say very happily, easily the darkest of the X-Men, easily the most violent.
Yeah.
And unlike, I think, a lot of, I'm saying that's what
guys about. Over there going, more.
Yeah.
Does it kill any pets?
I think compared particularly to some of the, I mean, look, we've got some great superhero movies, but over the last few years, I would argue it's probably got the most action of the bunch. It's a pretty straight sort of action revenge movie to a large level.
Revenge gets a shout out.
Yeah. Well, we like revenge. He knows his audience. But so I think it delivers. I'm very excited for it, and easily the most grueling production experience of my life, but ultimately one of the best things I've done in my career. And
directed by
Gavin Hood, who did Sotsi, which he won the Oscar for.
It's very good. You should rent
that. It's a fine film.
Different kind of content.
Slightly. And
also
ultimately.
Revenge.
But and needless to say, making comic book deadlines in a trailer on Cockatoo Island at 4 a.m. during 3 weeks of night shoots, not easy.
I use that excuse often.
Yes, I'm on Cockatoo Island.
I'm on Cockatoo Island.
Well, no, the answer is, of all the actors,
you and me,
who was the biggest pain in the ass?
Oh, you son of a bitch. everybody was all
right with me. I'm sorry.
Hugh Jackman is a great guy, actually, and a phenomenal guy. Ryan Reynolds, who plays Deadpool, he's phenomenal. And I can candidly say, nicely tease him up for his own spin-off film, which is something that Ryan, going back to Blade Trinity, Ryan, David Goyer, and I tried to put that deal together at New Line for a very long time. And so very nice to finally get to go and put him in the role. It's not Beak anymore, actually. Dominic Monaghan plays a new character, so we want to save Beak because there's so much pathos. You want to
save Beak.
Beak film, a Beak trilogy.
That's right. We're doing Beak and Marrow as
a wedding myself.
It's awesome. You've seen the Hope Crosby Road movie? It's Beak and Marrow. It's really fantastic. Dr. Janice Reyes or whatever.
Jewish, yes. Go ahead. Thank you.
Just a little shout out.
You guys also talk a lot of shit on Xbox, right?
Say again?
You talk a lot of shit on Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Mostly to, like, little Asian
It's totally like a sewing circle where we kill each other.
But you also pitch ideas around it. Right.
Yeah. No, it's great. We're shooting each other on Call of Duty, and then we'll forget there's other people in the room, and then we'll be getting into the deepest, darkest nerd area of the X-Men.
It's amazing we've not ended up like talking to somebody like who just immediately writes Rich Johnson. Like there've been a couple of times where we're not deep, so I'd be like, oh, right, this is an open channel. There's 30 other guys here.
I should change my tag to Rich Johnson. Someone's tweeting, get on Call of Duty because that's where all the Marvel secrets.
That's a big rationalization, but every once in a while we're in the deep, dark, nerd area, and you'll hear some voice go, what the fuck are you with these Shut up! I'm trying to shoot you.
Shut up, God.
Well, we had a good one, actually, one of my favorites from the exhibit, for half an hour, trying to listen to you guys talk, and suddenly goes, wait, you guys write comic books? And literally ends up knowing his shit and a tremendous nerd.
He's like, wait, you read The Punisher?
Yes, I love that book. So you never know. We end up playing with some pretty fun people and have a good time. And yes, copious amounts of smack talk going on in that thing pretty easily.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, let's get back into the
Ryan likes to find a corner and hide and just kill people with a sniper rifle. Though now he's into sicking the dogs on people because we got into the Call of Duty 5 beta test.
You have to take control.
Brian!
If you let him talk, we'll be sitting here. Two sources
at the fucking wheel.
Actually, Jeff and I link up on Tetris a lot.
I've gotten very good at Pong.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Really well, and that's second level.
Hey, Brian, what's the comic thing about somebody in the Japan?
What's Pong?
You guys.
Yeah. What should these
I don't know. Do you ever say anything you shouldn't?
Who, me?
Ever.
Like on Call of Duty, I think.
Oh, we just say
yes.
Oh,
no, all the time.
Oh, yeah, but we're generally in rooms with just us, like private.
15-year-olds don't like it when you call them McLovin. That is the one sure part. Like, you can hear them get hurt. Like, oh.
Yeah. Well, they know.
Fuck you, McLovin.
The novelty of getting our asses kicked by our prepubescent Asian child has really worn off, and we just go in our own room. Because there's nothing worse than just getting blasted over and over again. And you hear, it's awful.
Prepubescent.
We're 40-year-old men in our basements and our getting killed by it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's sad. Great. It's a great
sad.
Last moment.
It's a wonderful mental special.
Okay, so have you ever told any stories, like you've said in public, something about, say, Joe Quesada that you just should not have?
Who's Joe Quesada? what's the worst? The worst joke is out of story you guys have.
Jeff has.
I'm going to tell this because how could anybody find out about it?
Yeah.
I was in the middle of trying to figure out whether or not I was going to leave DC in order to come to Marvel. And I was staying here in New York, and it's about, 11 o'clock at night. There's a knock at the door. And this incredibly beautiful girl shows up at the door, and she says, hi, I'm a present from Joe Quesada. I thought like it was a guest. So I was like, great. Nice seeing you, bye. And she goes, no, I'm like here for the night. And I'm like, this is like so unbelievably embarrassing. I can't really do this. So we had a sort of conversation a little bit. We had, a cup of coffee, whatever the fuck it was. And she leaves.
Oh, yeah. A cup of coffee.
These days.
Now, here's the best part. What's the call? The next day, I get this call.
Yeah.
So pissed. Like, he's like, oh, I laid that money out. You should have done this thing. And I was just like, okay, I'll sign the deal instead. So it worked.
Wow, that's a great, wow.
Great negotiation. Great contract.
Did you have that copy of the half and half?
last spring, at the spring retreat.
Are you going to tell the story?
Yeah. No. I'm gonna tell a different one. I'm gonna tell a better one.
The same thing happened to you.
Joe is quite possibly the world's biggest Mets fan, and I'm a big baseball guy. And he invited me to go see a game, and so we went. And I think turned in the first Iron Man script. He had seen the movie. I hadn't. I wrote the Iron Man's are completely blind, but it was happening. It was all Joe seen the movie, and I had just sort of written the first, and I'm thinking, like, this is there's the little political voice that's like, oh great, I'm gonna have 9 quality innings, like hanging out with the boss watching the Mets. It's gonna be wonderful, and it's a beautiful day, and it's just fantastic. And he's like, so Iron Man, you know, it's really important. It's the first movie, you know, it's really important. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you know, you gotta do it. You really gotta stick the landing. Yeah, I'm ready. You know, I got the first script, and he's like, "Yeah, no, but you mean you have to stick the landing." I'm like, "Okay, I got it, great." And you know, we get it. And, like, basically the entire game. He's like, "No, listen, with the thing about Iron Man, he couldn't get, but like he got into my head so fucking bad about Iron Man. I went home and I was out of my skull. I rewrote everything. I completely and at the end of the summit, I was like, you know, I did a redraft. I did this thing. It would be different. He's like, "She's fucking with you."
Ed,
my only Joe story that I'm willing to tell is when
we gave up our goods.
I don't have anything that good. We were wandering around downtown San Diego trying to get out for a quick lunch, and we looked at a couple restaurants that were too packed, and he's like, "Let's just go to Hooters." And I was like, "Really?" He's like, "I really like the wing." What's that? Pretty good. Yeah. Wow.
That's true. That's true. The fuck is wrong with you?
Now, first of all, these two were complete lies.
That was a practical joke on Ed.
I was like about to fall off my chair with this.
They've never met. It's just
none of that was true. We wanted to see if we could get Ed to tell a horrible story about Joe and film Joe.
Literally. Ed's birthday next week, everybody.
Ed's sitting there going, wouldn't I get a hooker?
Ed Rubin, 39 years liar. Old.
But here's the best part.
Hooters, that's the best you can do?
I give him a story. Really much.
I like Hooters. I happen to like Hooters wings. They
have good wings. I know. Yeah. Hey.
Please tell me to bring it to DL.
It was awesome. No, you want this to be funny, don't you?
Oh, yeah,
I mean intentionally.
I would make it very entertaining. All right, I think this is a good chance to move on to our next section.
Hello. Yeah, right. Thanks for coming.
Move on to our next
section. Can I actually tell a joke? It's not a story.
Yeah.
Okay, here comes the asking. No.
It's not going to happen.
Joe got me a raise when I worked at DC. The first time I met Joe, I was walking into the San Diego Comic-Con, and I walked past Jim McLaughlin and him, and Jim said, "Hey, Ed, have you ever met Joe Quesada?" And I said, "No." And then we started talking, and that was the first time we met, and you're like, "Hey, when your contract's done, you know, give me a call." And we walk in, and as we're walking in, Dan DiDio and Bob Wayne see us walk in, and by halfway through the day, I was pulled into the D.C. area and told about my new, like, deal. That's my bad Joe
Quesada
story.
You
kept me at DC an extra year.
Yeah, that was the
plan. Wow. See, now I thought he was going to go, "Well, now that Joe's here, let me tell you a story. We were in Tijuana."
Yeah.
All right, we are going to move on with our next section.
Joe would
like to call
the
stack.
Don't you?
Yeah!
The first thing we're going to talk about is Ultimatum number 1. So let's get into it. Ultimatum. Why is this important? Why is this necessary? I mean, not in the best sense.
Because Jeff needs a new garage. Yeah.
A garage?
Garage or a fence. Literally, who has not read this?
Wow.
I haven't been to the comic store
yet. Was that everybody? Everyone then has read it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So everybody knows. I know. Do I have to answer the question now?
Right, yeah.
No, this is an opportunity to rebuild the Ultimate Universe, which, with all due respect to everyone who's working on it, it was getting to a place where, when it first came out, it was incredibly bold and innovative, and you've never seen it before. I mean, once you start with the idea that Peter Parker is 16, everybody else falls into a very dynamic and new place. And what was happening was, it was the lines getting blurred because the Marvel Universe was now becoming more like the Ultimate Universe. So what could we do? So the idea was to, rather than just smash it out of the blue or have some kind of, you know, where worlds collide and magic happens and, you know, some thing I don't understand after four issues were to happen.
You killed my Dazzler!
Is that the great pull quote? You killed my Dazzler. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I cry that to sleep every night. Yeah.
So the list is fairly long as to what's going to continue to happen.
Yeah. And in terms of something like Ultimate Spider-Man, Brian, how much does this affect what you're doing?
I haven't read it, so I don't know. We've got a really awesome plan set up. It affects Spider-Man's life a great deal. Ultimate Spider-Man will continue.
In some form.
Well, he'll be paddling water for about four issues. but a lot happens. We have return of Gwen Stacy, the return of Spider-Woman. Aunt May's whole life gets rocked. I have some great Aunt May stuff coming. And at the end of it, the Spider-Man book will have a different feel and some new cast members. And what we really want to do is tell new Spider-Man stories. And that's what we're going to have. So
it's kind of a brand new
but
day.
For 4 months. Peter Parker and his friend Huck Finn.
It should be that soon.
I don't know what I was going to say.
Awesome. You just want to go into the review part of the show, and you can't. let's just enjoy.
Yeah, let's just savor this moment.
You know what? Pass it around. Let everybody have a chance to look at it.
They've all read it. That's the best part about it.
Let's do a reading.
No one in America. Let's not do that. No, we'll stop it right there. What do we have next? I don't think we want to do that.
No, we don't?
No.
You sure?
No,
possibly. No, I can do it. I can do it without looking at it.
We'll talk about X-Men Manifest Destiny number 3, which nobody on here wrote, so we could rip it apart.
Yeah.
What is it?
Joe, editor-in-chief of that, so... Show some manners, man. He's right there.
Well, I think this is a short story collection. I mean, the thing that I specifically wanted to talk about is because Matt, you, and Ed took the X-Men and moved them to San Francisco. The same sort of thing. This is something taking a major franchise from the Marvel Universe and moving it to another place. Again, why was this necessary to do right now?
Necessary. Because we had a major... Yeah, exactly. We had a major Marvel franchise, family, school, society of characters that lived in a house shaped like an X, which showed the bad guys where to aim the missiles. And it was surrounded by the graveyards of all of their dead friends and family. Right?
Could you imagine doing like a Google Maps search? You know,
straight view.
Where are the X-Men? Where are they? Look at that fucked up X building. That can't be it.
It's right by all those tombstones and giant robots. Where might they be?
Honestly, part of it came from just me and Matt sitting in a room and just going like, "What the SFX? Like, cool."
No, I thought it was a gay thing. I thought it was a gay thing. Are you being serious?
North Star was regional.
Go ahead.
No, wow.
506.
Because you had a
506.
You had a real answer. You had a real gay
answer. I had an actual answer. I was doing a book called The Order That I Knew Was Ending. Yeah. And I said to Ed, we're just trying to figure out what are we going to do? It's so easy to pick over the same old bones, you know.
Magneto wrecking here.
And now we're going to go to the Savage Land, and now we're going to go to this, and we're going to go to that. It's like we got to do something. Let's figure it out. And I said, half joking, California's going to need a superhero team. And Ed said they should go to San Francisco. When we looked at each other, and it was like
marriage.
When I lived in San Francisco, I never understood why the X-Men weren't there, because it's like, if I was them, where would you go? You'd let your freak flag fly.
And then we'd be best friends, and we'd hang out all the time.
Well, not to get too, like, No,
Oogie,
please.
I'm trying, sorry, not to bring the room down and talk about, you know, but
here we go.
If these last 2 weeks have proven anything, it is perhaps my generation, this sort of nascent generation, is post-racial. The majority of the people my age born after the civil, you know, I mean, people at my age born after the civil rights movement.
I think it's the civil war.
When the X-Men started, the race metaphor was extraordinarily pertinent. And as time has gone on, if you're any group, any minority that you feel, any kind of persecuted group of people are going to be able to project some of themselves. But perhaps more relevant, if Prop 8 has taught us anything in this last week, is like, well, you know what, there's some real sexuality issues that still bother people.
Are you auditioning for MSNBC?
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Because it'd be cool to blow the Golden Gate Bridge up instead of the Brooklyn Bridge.
let me load that up for you.
Wait, watch me top that. I hope your book sells as well.
And actually, though, that issue was fun for me. It put me in a very interesting position as a studio executive at that time, because I think you'll recall this conversation. I think we might talk about this on Xbox as well. But I get a note one day from my boss, because I think the New York Times story, I think, on them moving to San Francisco. Oh, that's what it was. And I get a big blaring memo going, this is the new X-Men movie. This right here.
Like you did last
time. And I'm like, they're moving to San Francisco. Is that really a travelogue? What is this? And okay. And they're like, call, you know those guys. You play Xbox with those guys. You get on there and you find out where they're going. But, and that's the new movie. And so I literally have to call Ed. And I'm saying,
Destination Marin.
Yeah, literally. That's right. The Sack and Lucas film. Literally sitting there, and I'm going to Ed, and I'm like, can you like walk me through the arc? And literally, you're sitting there baffled. They moved to San Francisco?
It's the Marvel Universe. It's not like you actually have to buy books where characters get on the plane and fly. You don't have to watch Wolverine travel from destination.
In a Venom story, that takes 3 issues. You can
happens on that plane. Yeah. It's a really good,
a hell of a conversation.
Character is plot. Cool. We're going to move on then to talk about next issue, which we can rip apart, I think, which is Trinity number 23. Jeff, you dropped this, right?
Yes, I did. To be honest with you, look, I'm a DC nerd. I read plenty of Marvel as well. I grew up on both. Well, you guys have no interest in working with me. At the end of the day, look, I'm just sort of the opinion on that. As a DC guy who was growing up on the line, I'm pretty aware at this point that Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman are the Holy Trinity, and that they are what the universe revolves around.
No.
I knew that when I was 5.
Thor and Cap are the Holy Trinity. I don't know.
But either way, I can't lie to you. I mean, as a guy who still buys $30-$50 worth of books every week, the idea of being...
So that's 3 books?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. the idea of spending another year being reaffirmed that these guys are the centerpiece of the DCU is not... great love to Curry, who's very talented. Bagman's very talented. It just doesn't particularly do much for me. And if it was me and I was doing the weekly, as I said to you guys the other day, Justice League, to me, is like the no-brainer. Do a big, epic thing. Have these guys literally twisty-turny, membership up and down all over the place. And then by the end of that big... year-long epic, stick with a fucking lineup and hold them for 2 years.
There's at least 5 or 6 issues of Justice League sitting around that round table trying to figure out
looking at pictures. Apparently they do not have it digitized.
What's the game with a memory where you flip the card?
Guess who? Guess who?
Guess who? Mystery Face.
Concentration.
Well, then guess who as well.
Brian,
you
show it.
I'm just made. Jeff is like a DC message board come to life.
I know. So, Brian, you worked with Mark Bagley for a while.
I miss him terribly. It's Mark Bagley. It's colored by Pete Pentazis, who used to color Powers. And it literally, to me, it's like Kurt's fucking all my ex-girlfriends. It's really
damn. And it's turning out well on the page.
Yeah. That's another great book. You know what? Wow. Your girlfriends used to fuck you better than you, Kurt.
Looking at something like this and looking at how this and the previous DC weekly series have been received, do you feel like for Marvel this is an argument for or against having a weekly series?
No, I mean, it'd be like pointing at a DC Monthly book, which is most of them insane, because this is shitty. Is this prevention from doing monthly books?
I think you're right.
At the end of the day, it's all about good story. Yeah. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if it's weekly, monthly, yearly, in case
daily.
A low book.
The frontier. No, it's okay. I got it.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, it's just a matter of execution. I mean, I think, for example, Steve Wacker and the guys who are working on the Spider-Man titles, you know, three times a week, Spider-Man, the constant rotating cast of the writers. And the thing about, what's unique about Brand New Day and the stories that come after that is that Trinity has a definite end. They know where they're going with the story and where it's going to end, and they can sort of take a break. With Spider-Man, there is no break. It's a constant soap opera. And I think they're doing a great job considering the magnitude of that. The fact that when Steve did 52, he knew at 52 there was no 53. Well, maybe there was. I don't know. I wasn't reading. But, but he
clearly it didn't.
He knows what's amazing, that there is no end in sight. It is the greatest Sisyphus stone in publishing.
This has an ending? I thought this is a weekly.
It is a weekly.
For a year. But
it's
going
to end. But issue 52 will be the last.
And I'll bet you the moral is that Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman are the centerpiece of the DCU.
They need to work together. Together.
Yes,
in spite of our
great metaphor.
Wait, I thought it was like to see which one she would go out with.
I actually saw the last script. So I know how it ends. But I ruined the whole thing.
Yeah.
The last panel. I'll tell you what the last panel is. I won't say it, but it says, "Let's fuck." That's it.
We're going to move on and talk about
it. I got to read.
Okay, now, this comic I've never seen.
Marvel Zombies 3, number 2. So let's talk about this. We've been really enjoying this series.
Yeah.
What is the lasting appeal of Marvel Zombies?
I don't know. The
answer's in the question. The answer's really in the question there, isn't it?
Indeed, because we're reading. But this one is much better than the second one, I think.
Did Jason Aaron write this?
He should have. If he would have, it would be even better.
Yeah. We like Fred.
He's ghostwriting under Fred Van Lente, I think.
No.
It takes it back to a more kind of basic zombie story, I think. And I think the second one was they were flying through space more.
right to Robert Kirkman.
Mayor of Image Comics, Berkeley, California.
Actually, what's great is that Robert is so famous you can just put Robert Kirkman on an envelope. Either that or there are so few people in Kentucky that can actually read that they just send them. I didn't know which joke.
So he reads every
on.
Piece of mail.
Actually, the green screen. It gets to David Mack first. Very insular joke.
Right.
I think the appeal of the zombie books in general, like a lot of this sort of off universe stuff that we do, is that Marvel always has a sense of humor about what it is that we do. If not, we probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. but you know, it's just a fun romp, and it's just like, you know, look how crazy we can get and how stupid we can get. And in a lot of companies, this can't happen. But we're cool about our stuff. So, you know, our characters eating each other's brains.
I was there for the birth of this. We were all over there. Right? Yeah. I was at a retreat just like today, and Mark Miller goes, "I got an idea."
I can actually understand. Can you do a little thicker?
They're Marvel zombies, but they're really zombies. You're so stupid.
The best was like he wrote that for Ultimate Fantastic Four, and I read it, and I'm like, man, we got to do a series about this. And Mark thought I was joking. He's like, you're joking, right? I'm like, no, this has got legs. It's going to be great.
No, it was that year. Every idea Mark had when he said out loud, I wanted to slap him in the face. Right. And then when I read it, I go, yeah, that was a great idea. Yeah. I remember he goes, I got an idea. Wolverine should fight the shark. And then reading, it was great, but
Well, so pick up Marvel.
By the way, I don't do accents.
Let's move on to talk about Invincible Iron Man.
Woo! All right. Yeah! Fuck
yeah! Matt, we talked about it already a little bit, but you want to talk us through at least this issue? It's an epilogue.
Yeah. It's been
pretty
heavy.
Did you love it? I just need to know. You all have that little sort of warm, yummy puppy face on. Which I never get.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's not true.
It's been sort of a dark...
wow. you guys, we should switch seats, Jeff.
You know, anytime.
You guys can kiss.
I'm just thinking about all three of us on a plane. Get to go.
Okay, go ahead.
No, it had been a kind of a bleak six issues, and it's going to be a really rough year for Tony, and I had sort of one kind of chance to take a breather before we go launching into the next thing.
Well, A, he's a Skrull.
After he dies at the end of Secret Invasion, it's going to be really hard. And the Spider-Man thing hadn't been dealt with post-brand new One More Day, and I had a lot of fun writing Spider-Man the last time I got to write it. And it was like a little loose end, and it was sort of like the opportunity to do an old school, as Spider-Man even says in the most dumbass things that I do, like, hey, this is just like the old days, because I was thinking, hey, this is just like the old
days. Save, send, paycheck. You've learned well, yes.
I might have been born yesterday, but I stayed up all night. So it was the last chance to have just a lot of
3 years
fun.
Ago, Brian, when he was like writing independent posts, like, please buy my shit.
Exactly.
Coin dog, Mr. Quesada.
Harry didn't buy my shit.
Yeah!
Mr. Quesada.
I know it's printed on a newspaper bag, but you know.
It was a chance to have some fun. And like I said, it had been six issues of Repulsor Tech Suicide Bombers, and it's going to be a very big year and dark year, and it was like, let's let a little air into the place and just sort of have a good time.
Even more interesting, some people know, but not everyone knows, that you were in LA recently working with Jon Favreau on Iron Man 2.
And Justin Theroux on
Iron Man
2.
Tell them how Iron Man 2 ends.
He goes, you know what? I'm
that's
not
fine.
Iron Man.
That's fine.
It ends
well. Yeah. It's just like a James Bond.
It's the end of Eyes Wide Shut.
It was great. It was terrifying. It was high pressure and high reward. I think it was cool. I was in a room with guys who have really. And this is the thing. They like the book a lot, and they don't necessarily want. They're not. You know, I think if you sell the movie, it's not about obeying continuity so much as finding the core of the character and making like the best Iron Man movie possible. Not like, oh, here, fans, you know, in Iron Man 2:17. It's very.
So guys, you can do that stuff in comics. It's not that.
So it was that. It was just sort of like they wanted somebody to kind of check. To be there and bounce ideas off of, who kind of was very much immersed in the culture. And I know you guys were out, but they were like, in shoot, the script was done, they were locked, they were, I don't know, they were
getting it. You guys were there tearing it up.
Yeah, we were there for the very first one. Okay.
But there was a draft. I mean, it was written.
It was a rough draft. And then we went in there, you know, I mean, it was problems. It had problems, like every first draft.
First, I had no dialogue, which was troublesome.
But
that you knew how to put back in.
Was Terrence Howard banging on the window? Let me in!
Please!
I wasn't talking about that. I had blind guessed. I was reading the casting info in Variety and like, well, if Jeff Bridges is playing Obadiah Stane, it sure would probably be nice to have a Stane back on the board. So I'll put this. You know what I mean? It was, it's very, you know. Like I said, they're looking at making a good Iron Man movie, not a faithful adaptation of any kind of continuity-laden, you know.
When you're writing the comic, is it hard to find that kind of ground between the movie and the Marvel Iron Man?
Not really. I don't think. I've not felt that. I don't know. Maybe that's a stunning.
You're
lack
not
of,
writing the movie.
Maybe that,
writing,
no, I'm not writing the movie.
Writing
no,
movies.
No, I know. But I mean, like in
the,
I mean,
so
the
maybe
book,
that's a,
obviously,
a stunning lack of self-awareness on my part. But no, I mean, it's just sort of like the character sounds like he sounds, and he's just right there. And you know, it's like I'm not the biggest fan of continuity, but I'm a big fan of consistency. Mm. And it's like
take it.
But like my dad hasn't been reading Iron Man since 1985, but I have. So it's like, what's my dad gonna get? You know. My dad's gonna see the movie. So like write the book for your dad. Write the book for somebody that's never, you know, Stan used to say everybody's comic is somebody's first comic. And so that's sort of that's a good
to that point. I mean, I worked on Iron Man when it was at New Line, before they took it and did a phenomenal job with the film.
And the challenge developing that movie back then, even particularly, I think the strength of where the business has moved is including guys like Matt Bagley, these guys going on the last film. Because I'll tell you, there's the best story developing Iron Man when it was a new, when it was actually at one point Cruise and Spielberg, which was a very real deal that came close to happening, was obviously we were big Rhodey fans, very similar to that. Like, obviously, you can see the progression of where that character is going to go in the next, in the series of films. literally, the executive on the film, the senior executive on the time, who will remain nameless, we had to have about a half an hour argument with, because she felt that making him, I think he was head of security for Stark Industries at that point, was racist. And I believe it was, I think it was, I want to say it was Avi Arad that said, it might have been Feige, who literally had to turn to her and say, he's not carrying a ring of fucking keys.
Iron Man's
it's a half a million dollar gig, most likely. And, I mean, literally, we would have debates like, well, he shouldn't fly. And it would just be like, you can't be fucking kidding. And so I do think it's a look, it's a tribute to what you guys did, ultimately. And I think it raised the game for everybody. And I do think the film will be looked on very positively in that regard. Because these things are, I've worked on a couple of them, they're not easy. And to that point, it's that fine line. Do you get bogged down in continuity, or is it about finding essence and tone of that character and voice? Like Wolverine, for example, was just be badass. As long as Wolverine is badass, you're happy.
Okay, and I will. Favreau and Justin both have like a laser focus on this stuff.
I love that you did that.
I came in and I was sort of like, what about this and what about that? And you know, it was like, no, he's this, he's that. Like, that's what, like, as John especially as the filmmaker, like, has a really invested. You know, he might be a tourist in our world, but he's going to all the local spots. You know what I mean? Like, he's really...
Every catchphrase is cool.
It was great.
What did you say about that? I got up early in the morning? What was
but
that?
I stayed up all
night. Stayed up all night?
I stayed up all night.
Great.
I was
we'll have a dossier for you at the end.
Yeah. I was born in a fortune cookie factory.
But I stayed up all night.
Yeah. Got it.
And that's it for the staff! It is time for my next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring out Booth Man.
Booth! Booth!
What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's fortunate. If you not laugh it up, this guy gets laid more than all of us.
Speak for yourself.
You know what, Brian?
Let's have our first question.
Here's your own post-it.
What is up with Final Crisis?
What's going on with the bulge?
No one's ever touched
it. It's a George Schumacher design costume.
It's what we call a two sock day.
Yeah. How many two sock days do you have?
I know a rather.
He goes the full Schumacher.
If we've learned anything about Prop 8.
I'm going to repurpose this question and get back to the question. In terms of what's up with Final Crisis, I guess let's talk about big events in general, what they mean for the industry right now. How are they affecting?
I guarantee you that's not what that question meant.
Yeah. I would literally turn that around.
You all the money in my own pocket. Yeah. That is not what that
what's,
fucking
what? Matt, what's up with Final Crisis?
Apparently they're dogs. And these dogs are like horses. They fuck with people.
It's building toward them.
Cool.
I hope we didn't work on Final Crisis.
What?
We didn't work on Final Crisis, so.
Cool.
Do you guys read it? Anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, that's what you call it. I
just look at
pictures.
You grind it up. What a weird high.
Try snorting.
Just smoke the anti-life equation, man. Yeah. It gets you fucked up. Who asked that question, by the way? Pete's going to give you a special gift.
right in the mouth.
Honestly, I think all he wants is an answer at this point.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous number of books for no particular
eventually
reason.
It will end.
you can't really judge it until the end.
Come on. Exactly.
All right. You guys let's get the next question.
All right. Who came up with the idea of other immortal weapons in Iron Fist?
Other immortal
weapons? You should read it. It's great. They're weapons. See, the thing is there's different.
Are you guys still on that book?
No, we're done.
No, we're
okay, but you, when you were on it, it was good.
Yeah.
Okay, it's still good.
No, I'm sure it's great. It's once you left, I stopped reading.
No.
Sure you did.
That happens.
You should check it.
No, I like that guy, too. What's his name?
Dwayne Swierczynski.
No, not him. The artist.
Danny Rand.
The other guy. Aja.
Yeah.
He's good. I like him.
He's great.
Oh, okay. Keep him
he
long.
He stabbed himself in the eye and then he had a baby, so he sort of fell up.
He
had an eye infection and then that like screwed up his work for very long.
Really?
That's why he kind of.
McGinnis stabbed his wife in the eye. That's why all his books are late.
Weird.
Oh, that's not how you make a baby, by the way. Yeah, good point.
Depends on what you're calling a baby.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Once again, I hope that
you should put that. Wait, so who came up with the
Matt
immortal?
Matt and I came up with it on a phone call when we were trying to figure out what to do with the human
story. Not an Xbox?
No, we were actually talking on the phone, and I was walking out of my office, and I saw my wife's Enter the Dragon poster. We were plotting the Kuen Loon story, and I just looked up.
What'd
and
you call
I just Kuen Loon. And I just saw my wife's Enter the Dragon poster, and immediately, I think we both.
Ed wanted to do the tournament, and you know, back at the thing was Kuen Loon like rotated in every 88 years or whatever. It was on a cycle, and
every 10 years,
whatever it was. In that same spot, there
the
were other things. That was where the other people came from, because who else could Iron Fist fight? And it just sort of.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, what if there's seven cities? The seven capital cities of heaven, and Matt came up with all the other characters.
It was just sort of like Mad Libs. You took like an animal and a verb and a
Queen of Spiders.
And then one of them, the Prince of Orphans, is actually loosely based on an old Bill Everett character that was the inspiration that Roy Thomas based Iron Fist on originally.
Oh, wow. Same power turned into green man. We did it.
So
it's
cool. John A. Man, amazing man.
Are you still talking?
Did you guys set up the all the Iron Fist have almost all of them have died at 33 as well?
With Matt.
Love that. And you set that up.
David
before.
Mack? Is that what you said?
Yeah, David Mack. No. Absolutely.
Yeah. And were you going to that was your next story arc, but then you guys were off the book, so you just
it was one of those things where like we just started to put it out there, and there was a Wizard article that had write up on all of them. There was one guy that did the math. It was Dwayne. Dwayne was the first guy before our last issue. Dwayne called me and said, they're all 33. And I was like, you're the only guy that's done the fucking math.
Wow, that's crazy.
So talk about knowing that like the book was in the right hands. Dwayne caught that book.
Yeah, right.
It's just one of those little things we're going to put out there. I don't even think, I think I waited for you and Warren to catch it when I like wrote up the bio.
Well,
and everything.
I thought you did it on purpose.
Let's get the next question.
All right, what do you think about Joe Johnston directing Captain America?
Rocketeer.
Yeah.
Oh, Rocketeer.
I did a little happy dance in my hotel room last night when I saw it online. I was
like,
yes.
Can we see you do it?
Can you do a happy dance? Can you do a happy dance with the B guy?
Did the happy dance.
With this guy. Have a happy dance with
him. Is that the Balky Bartakamas dance?
Do the happy question dance, guy.
Gremlins 2!
I like Jumanji.
Joe Dante. Gremlins 2 is a good movie.
Doggo is a great movie.
Gremlins 2 is not a
good movie. Gremlins 2 is better than the first movie.
Oh, watch it again.
Oh, funny movie. Daniel Clamp, man.
You're mistaking it for Fast Times
Original. Fast Times Original 2.
Yeah, much better. So many questions.
That brings up the whole Marvel slate of movies. How? What do you guys think of that? How excited? Are you excited? What do you say?
I don't like it.
Yeah, we're down on it.
Yeah, cool.
Who cares about movies? We're into comics.
Movies
are for losers.
The most exciting thing about the Marvel movies is the fact that it incorporates all the guys that work at Marvel. I mean, you know, if you're really immersed in one of our regular writers and you've been doing a significant run on a book, chances are you're going to be involved in one way or another. And the same thing with the artists. You know, where Adi Granoff particular, you know, work in Iron Man. So there's a huge give and take between Marvel West and what we're doing in publishing. And the cool thing is that while they're not, you know, dogmatically following our continuity, their goal there is to have a movie continuity, while each movie is accessible, have a movie continuity that, while it may not be exactly what we're doing, it feels like Marvel continuity, and it's got that edginess in it. You know, it's going to be a little bit Marvel U, a little bit Ultimates, it's going to mix and match. And even though there may be a twist and turn, you go, well, that's not exactly like the comic, it's going to feel right. So you're not going to sit there and go, ah, man, I hated when they did that. It's going to feel like a Marvel movie.
And that was another thing that came up a couple of times, you know, that they're super aware of, like this, we can't poison the well with this. Mm-hmm. We do too many of this cutesy, there's too much cutesy shit, and it's going to be a completely alienating thing. Yeah. So it's a very delicate, they're very aware that this is, like, a gift and not something that kind of can be exploited. It's really cool, like, to... There's nobody sitting in the room going, but how is it going to sell the Avengers in 4 years? Or, you know what I mean? It's very.
But Santo, the part that is cool, and as near as I can tell, and Jeff, you can probably speak to this, I do not remember any time in film where you could build a franchise separately. I mean, it's one thing to do, you know, 23 Bond movies, but you're not doing 23 Bond movies that then add up to all the Bonds are going to get together for the biggest Bond movie ever.
That's a pretty good idea, though.
I'm just saying.
Go rewrite the original Casino Royale and then see if that's actually a good idea.
Doctor Who special.
But the idea that they have the ability to be able to put together this Avengers movie and have enough confidence about themselves that they're going to do a Captain America movie and a Thor movie that will help that franchise as opposed to, oh, look at that careful misstep that we made. and they're done in such a way that even if it wasn't as big as Iron Man, the truth is that as long as you get that character out into the consciousness so people know who that is, you do have the ability to be able then to do this Avengers movie.
It's a huge undertaking. It's amazing, the attempt.
And do you feel like it feeds back to the comics?
Oh, yeah. No question about it. I mean, just the awareness alone. People who are out there who are like, you know, either they're lapsed fans who forgot, don't buy comics, but remember the heroes from their childhood, or people who are just like going for the first time and saying, I got to go pick up the comic. It definitely reflects in the sales.
And personally, you know, over just the years that me and Joe particularly have been, you know, at the company to watch the evolution of comics and film and all getting closer and closer. It used to be there was a moat, and the comic people got to watch the film people.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Avi Rod would wave and blow a kiss. But
from his jet ski.
But but it's really been cool. Like we had a great week of doing that Iron Man stuff. That was a blast. Not only just because the fact that they thought to do it, the thought that, you know, let's get a bunch of Iron Man guys in the room and, you know, just talk it out. And I was like, if I was making this movie, I would so try to do something like that. Man, I hope this doesn't suck because they're doing everything right. You know, and
that would have been the worst though, if they called us in and we actually were hands-on in this movie and it really sucked. Yeah. But yeah, that would have been a bad thing because then it would have been like, well,
it would have been our fault, first of all.
It also would have been, yeah, you see, you brought the comic guys and it didn't really help.
No, but it's been a slow evolution of that and it's really been cool. So that, for personally, it's just been awesome because it's just awesome to do that kind of stuff every once in a while.
Personally, it's been awesome because it's just been awesome.
Sorry, Mr. Born into Cookie.
Cool, and that's it for your audience questions. Pete actually left that to bring a nice gift. And speaking of Pete, actually, we're going to have to turn it over to you for our next section, which is trivia.
Yeah!
Don't let us down. So... this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. This is the trivia portion where we give a lucky audience member a chance to win a gift card.
All you have to do is
signed by Michael Bendis. It's $25 for Midtown Comics because they're nice enough to sponsor the
$25? That'll almost buy you a train.
Exactly. So who would like to volunteer for a chance to win 25? Yes. Guy in the glasses first.
$25, yes.
All right. Come on down.
You actually get the paper.
Hey, what's your name, man?
Dave.
Dave, audience? Dave. Audience Dave. Dave.
You know what's great? Is that from the back, you look like Robert Kirkman.
Wow.
So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you the question. You're going to listen to all three possible answers.
Okay. Choose the card.
Yeah, choose the right one. And then if you get all three right, the gift card will be yours. All right, here we go. So today's trivia is on Secret Invasion.
I know the answer.
Yeah. Okay. Secret Invasion is dealing with Skrulls. It has been a challenge to tell who is a Skrull and who isn't. So far, the best way to find out is to... A.
I would like to...
A, shoot them in the face and see if they turn into a Skrull. B, use magic. Or C, trick them into saying their name backwards. No, wait a second, that's a lame idea. So it's either A, shoot them in the face and see if they turn into a Skrull, or B, use magic.
It's shoot them in the face.
That's correct! One for one!
That's my solution to anything.
By the way, just to give you a little hint, the guy who wrote this is a really big fan of Wolverine and violence, so that could help you out.
Okay,
here we go. Okay, one of the first Skrulls to be revealed in Secret Invasion was...
Electro.
A, Spider-Woman. B, She-Thing. Or C, William Shatner.
That's a trick question. Okay,
so then it's Spider-Man.
Yeah! The ads for Secret Invasion seem to be pushing for a world with Skrulls. Would your reaction be...
Sit down, everybody.
A... pissed... Is it A, pissed
Last
off...
Enough, Jeff
because
Cass.
Skrull...
Pete growing angry.
It's in your trivia, Pete.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to do it. Is it A, pissed off because Skrulls have been killing everyone?
Wait, what was the question?
I don't remember the question.
You're trying to get to a world that we're saying is...
What?
See, I'll read it again.
Where are we?
I was right.
Yeah, no, you're
okay.
The ads for Secret Invasion seem to be pushing for a world with Skrulls. Would your reaction to that be, A, pissed off because Skrulls have been killing everyone, B,
this is a hypothetical
question.
This is
an opinion.
I'm totally going to do this
one.
He's got it. He's burning his $25 right now. Yeah. Yeah.
B, depends. I mean, if the writing is there, I am on board. So far, it's been amazing. C, freaked out. I mean, have you seen those ads? They're creepy little kids with ice cream.
I love you.
See, if you just let me get through it.
We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you guys looking forward to that's coming out? Pete, we'll start with you.
Old Man Logan.
Woo!
That's a good one.
It's been awesome.
Great.
Yeah, I gotta look at
the list. Cool. I'll go and then we'll come back to you. Captain Britain, the MI-13 is an excellent series. Yeah. Really, really fantastic. Really unique. Great take on the Marvel Universe. Really like it a lot. Pick it up.
Nice. X-Men Magneto Testament has been phenomenal. Greg Pak is knocking that out of the park. That's also very good. You should check that out.
That's another one I can say.
See, later that same night.
Yeah. Joe, you want to plug something that's coming up that people should look out for?
Jesus.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, right now for me...
Secret Invasion 8!
Yeah, no one's heard about that. Definitely tease us with that.
Somebody dies.
Anything written by Jason Aaron right now?
He's written some of those perfect comics.
He's good.
What's the last one that you like? That you
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Scroll
Black Panther.
This was good. It was amazing.
It is amazing.
Knocked it out of the park. Best time book we did. Best time.
Best
When's
time
his name going to be up here? Right here on the top in the masthead. The Jason Aaron universe. Is that coming soon?
Do we have somebody that has that?
that.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Jason Aaron just said that.
Jason Aaron just said that.
Bitch!
Okay, so what are you plugging?
Tom Sawyer. Dark Rain. Dark Rain. It's the next thing. Next big thing.
A lot of people are getting confused with Chocolate Rain.
Or
Chubby Rain for Bonefinger. Gotcha, suckers.
Jeff, what about you?
No, but actually, the real thing that I'm most excited about, I mean, I want to plug Brian, because he needs the help. What's happening in the Ultimate Universe, after Ultimatum, is really the coolest thing, because one of the things we're getting back to with the Ultimate Universe, one of the hallmarks of it is unpredictability of that universe. There is stuff that's going to happen in these books, and you're like, I can't believe they weren't there. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they're canceling those. Oh, sorry. That's my spiel.
Cool. Jack?
Do we plug our own? What do we do?
I can't believe they don't.
Plug our own?
What are you looking forward to?
I just, you know, the stuff that I'm doing in Red Hulk, that particularly right now, getting to see Arthur Adams stuff, which is just extraordinary. Frank Cho doing the other half of the book. We're just having fun there. And then Young Ed McGinnis returns on issue 10, and we'll be doing the story you've demanded, which is the Defenders versus the Offenders, which I'm sure you guys will. So, you know, we're having fun with Red Hulk. He's just out there doing all Hulky kinds of things. Or Rolky, I guess.
Rolky.
Rolky.
Matt, what about you?
I have a fairly new baby, so he's a year now, but I don't really get to read quite as much as I stuff collects in piles and I try to get through it. But the most recent thing that came through, that Batmanga book looks pretty incredible, but the second Berlin collection.
What else was good was the Krakow one. I liked that one. And you know what else I liked? I liked Tokyo. I'm stuck.
I love Jason Lutz's stuff, and want to. You can't. It took about 8.5 years to come out in singles, so it's all collected in a book now. I'm looking forward to it. It's not exactly the kind of thing you can read like in between diaper changes and chasing a toddler. But that's the next, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, whatever, however long. The next chunk of time I have to just read a comic. The second Berlin.
And what about something you have coming out? Which, like,
Iron Man gets really.
Thanks
awesome
for that Berlin thing. Nobody's ever talking about it. Should you plug your own book, please?
Great, Iron Man and Uncanny X-Men. Iron Man 8 starts a big new storyline, and then Uncanny. The next issue, which I think is out either this week or next week, is Terry Dodson's first issue. And it's incredible.
Yeah.
Carries on for the next arc, and that's pretty great. And I actually just wrote an Uncanny Annual that's all about Emma. Man, that was a blast. She's a lot of fun to write. So
awesome. Yes.
Favorite thing I'm reading right now, and not just because he's here, is Captain America, which I think is the
best
part.
And
Mark Waid.
To his credit. And you won't know if you'll admit this or whatever, but he actually edges very prescient. We've talked about this thing.
$1,000.
I'm on points. I'll take $1,000 right and get them.
How many dollar bills do you have in your shirt right now?
Do you need correct change? If you pull my arm, I shit quarters. I do think, though, the fact that...
He'll be at scores later.
That's right. No, I'm at Rick's now. I know I'm Ricky Man Jr.
Ricky
Man, that's right. Thank you, Lonnie. Where's Lonnie? Wherever he is. No, I think the fact that you called the subprime meltdown, the fact that you were able to make that so topical, and at the same time, frankly, get me back invested in a character that I frankly lost some interest in over time, is pretty impressive. In terms of my own stuff, obviously the film out May 1st, 2009. Comic-wise, can't talk particularly yet, but a couple things will be coming that will be a bit surprise. A few bombs to drop along the way. But I will say one thing I am going to be doing that I'm excited about at the risk of offending people is I'm going to be doing a mini creator-owned thing called Special Dead, which is based on a short film that I picked up when I was an executive at New Line, which is the story of zombies that attack a camp for the mentally and physically handicapped. And the kids rise up and kick zombie ass. It's the world's most twisted empowerment story. And I suspect there may be some controversy around that, but I'm known to like that. With an artist who I cannot name yet, who I think will excite
me. Do they run one of them over with the short bus?
No, the idea is they have to get the short bus at the other end of campus. And the B story is the defiant ones, actually, but done with a black eye and a retard. It's fantastic.
and handled super
yeah. Straight to hell.
Brian, what about you?
You're looking forward to spending
my, zombie versus retard
story. And I'm screwed. I was going to pitch Marvel Retard.
Wow. Can't wait for the cover.
Sometimes heroes ride the short bus.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of Criminal.
You're right there.
No, you know, I'm loving Criminal. I recommend trying. I'm not going to bet.
You don't want that back.
Jonathan Hickman's work, The Nightly News. Please read it because it'll give you a nice primer for his work when he comes to Marvel with The Secret Warriors number one, which debuts early next year, which is Nick Fury and the kids. And the first issue is really well written, so I'm very, very excited for you to see that. In my free time, I would also buy the Casanova hardback from Image Comics. Pick up the Ultimate Spider-Man annual that came out with David LaFuente.
He's really good. Yes.
I think he's amazing, and I think he's really going to be huge and gigantic, and I really hope you check it out.
Oh, can I plug also the second Booster Gold hardcover in stores last
year? Yeah!
And Ed, last but not least.
I'm just drawing a blank.
Powers!
Powers! No, my favorite, you know, Powers just went on hiatus. Casanova's on hiatus. My other favorite comic is Scalped by Jason Aaron.
Okay, now you give him a dollar.
Yeah.
This is Jason Aaron.
Of my stuff, I'm really excited for people to see the next issue of Daredevil, where Daredevil actually fights Lady Bullseye, who turned out not to be unpopular, as everyone on the internet said she would be.
But the internet,
turns out the internet doesn't know everything.
Wait, you took a character that's really popular and put tits on her?
Says the man who writes Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
What about Lady Spider-Woman?
Done. What about Ms. Spider-Man?
These are all great ideas. Yeah. Housekeeping things before we go. You can check us out all the time at youtube.com/comicbookclub.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Lock and Key. The Lock and Key. Yeah. Of Joe Hill, who I didn't realize was Stephen King's son when I was reading the book.
So. Bullshit.
Yeah.
I didn't.
You missed all that media? Really?
Yeah, I work in a basement.
Please.
There's an election going on and there's porn.
Yeah. next week we have a daily crosshat show for you guys, moderated by Brian Heater. Tom Hart is going to be here. Also, John
Hart?
Yes.
He used to be my roommate.
Oh. We'll talk about that. John Kirschbaum and Sarah Glidden.
Sarah Glidden?
Yeah.
He used to be Ed's roommate.
We're doing an Ed Brubaker's roommates show. Couple of people we want to thank.
And Matt's selection, Jason Lutz, lives around the corner from me.
Oh. Cool.
Ed's wife lives in the same house with
them. Don't tell her I live there.
I personally know Ed Brubaker.
Let's not end the show.
Jeff Loeb is the tallest man in his whole house. I don't believe that.
When I wear heels.
There's a couple of people we want to thank for being on the show. We'll thank Joe!
We're gonna all go.